I'd like to name all the terrific people who've stopped by to amuse, inform, and delight us. But I have to stop here for a moment because there is one journey we took a few months ago about which we're still receiving letters. It wasn't an easy trip. Matter of fact, at times it was terribly graphic, forcing us to cease whatever it was we were doing and think about some of the unspeakable horrors human beings continue to inflict upon one another. So even though it's hard to hear, we're going to give you back to the Savvy Travelers, Scott Carrier, and revisit Cambodia.
Had the driver pull over at Lucky Lucky Motorcycle Rentals, where I spoke with Mr. Lucky. He recommended that I take a 250cc dirt bike, and I agreed. $7 a day, and I'd have to leave my passport. I asked him if it would be okay with him if I rode the bike up Highway 6 to the Angkor Temples, a distance I figured to be around 200 miles. Mr. Lucky said yes, but that I should watch out for police and military personnel and to not stop for them under any circumstances, that I should ride away from them as quickly as possible. I gave Mr. Lucky my passport and rode out into the river of traffic. My plan was to get away from the hotel and travel through the countryside, where 90% of Cambodians actually live. But Mr. Lucky had worried me a bit, so I made my way across town to the office of the United Nations Development Program and asked to speak to the security officer. He said that there were basically three towns that were safe for tourists now: Phnom Penh, Siem Reap near the temples, and Sihanoukville on the southern coast, but that tourists should not travel there by road or by train or by boat, but instead to fly in and out of each town. He said that the countryside, the jungle, was ruled not only by the Khmer Rouge, but other rival factions as well, and that they all had guns, a lot of guns. And that if you're a foreigner, they figure the ransom will be very high, or they'll just kill you for the motorcycle alone. He said that I should be careful and alert to such things, as if, for instance, all of a sudden the traffic stops and the road becomes empty, that this would mean something was wrong. Then he said he'd like to visit with me some more, but that as it was 5 o'clock, he'd be leaving, and that maybe I should go talk to the journalists who hang out at the Foreign Correspondents Club, a bar along the Mekong River.
It was in that bar Scott met up with a well-known journalist, Ed Fitzgerald, who passed along some of his knowledge about the country based on his time there. And Scott, in turn, shared those observations with us.
The current economy is jungle-based, the money being primarily in hardwood and heroin. In Cambodia, he said, 1 out of 10 babies die at birth. In Cambodia, 1 out of 5 children die before the age of 5. 60% of the people here are under the age of 26. This is a country, he said, the size of the state of Missouri, on which the U.S. dropped 600,000 tons of bombs from 1969 to 1973. This is a country that then went through a communist revolution where 1.5 million people were tortured and murdered or died from starvation and disease. A country where there are now less than 10 million people alive, but more than 10 million landmines still in the ground. I know thousands of amputees, he said. Thousands. I was speechless and wanted to go out on the veranda for some air and maybe look at the river for a while, but Fitzgerald wasn't through. I think you should encourage people to come here, he said. Tourism is a good thing for Cambodia. It brings in dollars, and it brings in people who see how things are, and then they go home and talk about it. And it is, after all, a very beautiful country. The people, after all they've been through, are warm, even passionate, and very friendly to tourists. I think you should tell people to come here, but that they should be smart about it. Don't come to Cambodia and rent a motorcycle and head off down the highway. This is not a country for the unwary. This is not Tahiti. This is not Bali. You can die here.